understands. Before I start, I just want to commend you for the worship this morning. I always think worship is a little bit like a plane sitting on a tarmac waiting to take off and soar. So it's a little bit slow as it starts, and then we get in by choice. Sometimes there are passengers still watching in the airport as the worship goes off and they're not on the plane. But actually, I don't know if you felt that kiss of heaven as we were worshipping, particularly in the last sort of 10 minutes between 10 to and 11. It was just like the presence of God was here. Did you feel that?
Yes.
It was brilliant. And Gerald and you guys, thank you for leading us in that. We so value what all of you give here on the stage. But I would commend you for your response in worship, because that's our choice. We don't have to respond to God. We choose to worship him. And you guys were doing that so well. Right, so I spoke with Damien earlier in this week, and we were chatting, and I talked about a preach that I actually prepared a year ago, but ended up not giving for different reasons. And he asked me if I'd fill in, because he's away this week. Is it in the Lake District? Is that where he's gone off to? Yeah. So we pray, Damien, Maggie, family, you have a great time, refreshed in the Lord in the Lake District. And the series that we're carrying on with is a fairly short series on prayer. Last week, Damien preached, and he did such a brilliant job. It was fantastic. It was so good that a number of people in our life group felt challenged to fast that afternoon through to our meeting on the Monday night. That's when you know preaching is good, when it changes what we do. And we had such a good time that evening. We didn't do the Jesus apprenticeship, which we're kind of working through. We didn't do any Bible study. We worshipped God and we prayed. And we spoke to God and he spoke to us. And some of what I'm going to talk about now actually comes out of that prayer time in the life group. And I just want to recommend to you, if you're not in a life group, you are so missing out. Life groups are where we build relationships in the church, where we encourage each other, where we grow. So if you're not in one, get stuck into one. They are brilliant. They are places that they'll challenge you, they'll encourage you, there'll be a place where you get to know the Bible better, and you grow in God there. So get stuck into a life group if you're not in one. So that challenge Damien left us with last week, do you remember what it was? You can say something. What was it? Yeah, fast and pray till when? Christmas, basically, the end of the year. 6 months of a challenge to us to fast and pray and ask God for a building. So particularly that. So he said set aside a day a week. Now it may not be 24 hours, maybe a part of a day to fast and to seek God and to ask him to lead us into a building. As Anne-Marie said, we want the Holy Spirit to lead us somewhere. It's his direction, it's his gift to us, this building will be. And I have to say, I thought that was a pretty big challenge. Did you feel 6 months of a day a week for 6 months fasting and praying was a big challenge? I felt that was a pretty big challenge. And I had to question myself and say, do I really want a building that much? Are we comfortable where we are? You know, it's fine in here. We set up and we do our stuff and we go away and someone else looks after it all. We don't have to decorate it, build it or anything else. So do I really want it that much that I'd spend 6 months fasting and praying? I'm going to try. And I guess Damien would also ask all of us to try. We can't make a promise to do it, but he'd ask us to try. And what it got me thinking about was the Jewish nation when they were in captivity in Israel. Some of you, if you know your Bible a bit, will know that story. If you're new to the church, the Jews have kind of gone there, lived there a little while, prospered in numbers. There were millions of them at the time that God was then going to lead them out of Egypt, where they were slaves to the Egyptians. They had very little there. They wanted a home. We want a home. God gave them a land, promised them a land flowing with milk and honey, but they'd have to step into it. They'd have to take some effort and work to get into that land. And they fled Egypt, and miraculous things happened. My goodness. You know, they should have been in that place where they were going when the sea parted and they walked through on dry land, when food came out of the sky and water flowed out of rocks. They should have been in that place where they were going, hey, God is with us. This is going to be such a great journey. But they're in the desert, hungry and thirsty, and they go, I want to go back to Egypt. At least in Egypt we had cucumbers, melons, leeks. You know, you can understand, they're really thirsty, so they think of succulent food. You kind of get that. But actually God was providing for them all along the way, but they still hunkered after what they had. They hunkered after, in some ways, what was safe in their thinking. They knew it. It was secure. And it was a bit like me thinking of this building, kind of, okay, we know it. We make it work. It's going to be hard work having a new one. Do I want it that much? Just the same as the Jews were saying, do I want it enough to walk through this desert and go and find this land of promise, this new home? So we're going to read in Joshua chapter 1. And again, Joshua came up as we prayed on Monday night at our life group, and I just felt God leading me to this section. If you've got a Bible, I love hearing the rustle of pages. And actually, I love some amens when I'm preaching. Now, if you're African, you're much happier with giving me an amen, aren't you? Yeah, so if those who are African can teach us English people to say amen when they agree with something I say, I just feel really encouraged by that. It just kind of keeps me going. So teach us something, guys. So Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 to 11. Moses is dead. Joshua is in the leadership position of the Jewish nation. And I think he's feeling a bit scared. He's a bit nervous and he needs a pep talk. And God gives him a pep talk and tells him how to lead the people well. And there are certain phrases in these passages that will stand out to you because they're repeated three times. And a bit like when you were kids, if your mum and dad said something to you three times, it really meant you really wanted to listen at that point. You were going to get into trouble and get it wrong if you didn't. So Joshua 1, 1 to 11. We've got it up there. So, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all of the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you know your New Testament, that phrase is repeated to the church, to you and to me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do and obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. So to us, that's the Bible. It wasn't quite the same in his day, but the law, the Bible to us. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Three times. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Now, the things I want to highlight from that passage, and then I want to tell you a story. It's a good story of God's grace. So, God promises to give them the land. a new home. It's his gift to them. But they'd have to put faith into action and walk into it. They have giants to fight, battles and armies to overcome. They have to build farms and establish food sources for themselves in the land. They have work to do, but it is still God's gift to them. And I want you to keep, as I preach, all of that in mind, that God gives gifts, but we have to walk into the land. And he says three times in different ways, be strong and courageous, Hope Church. Be strong and courageous. And for Joshua, I'm kind of thinking as I read that, so what? How does he need to be strong? He's got battles to fight. So is it like his biceps, his arm, and his shield arm? He needs strong arms to fight battles. But later on, it says, the battle is mine, the Lord says. And the walls of Jericho tumble down when they just walk around them and shout praise to God. No battle, really. So perhaps it's not the strength of his arm. Perhaps it's not the strength of our arms. I think what he was saying was, be strong in faith. Be strong in faith. Be certain that what God has promised, he will achieve. He will accomplish his purposes. And he's also commanding him to be full of courage, not to be fearful when facing problems and battles. And do you know where fear is dispelled? When you're worried about something, where do you go to find peace? God in prayer. If we want to escape fear and be full of courage, then we go to that place of prayer and meet God, and he settles our hearts with his peace. He fills us with his courage. Is that true? Yeah? The battle is in prayer, not the strength of our arm. And then he says to Joshua, love the law. God is revealed in his law, in his Bible to us. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Will we do that as a church as we go to look for our home? Our amazing God will provide it. I think almost the title I'd kind of give to this preach is God's amazing answers to our prayers. Not our amazing prayers, his amazing answers. Thank you. Love it. Makes me feel good when you say that. So if God was saying this to the Israelites and to Joshua about having a new home, do you think he would say the same things to us? Yeah, he will. He will say the same stuff to us. He will say, Hope Church, I will give you a new home. Will you walk into it? Hope Church, be strong and courageous. Do not give in to fear. Yeah? Hope Church, love the Bible, meditate on it day and night, and be careful to do everything written in it. Yes?
Yes.
Hope Church, get your provisions ready. Yes. Get your provisions ready. If we're to buy a building, then every one of us will have work to do in that building, maybe money to give towards that building. Get our provisions ready. So Joshua goes to the Jews before they enter the promised land, when they're going to cross the Jordan, get your provisions ready. And I would say he would say the same to us now. Get our provisions ready. Think about what we're willing to give, to sacrifice, to give to him, to have a new home. He will give it to us, but we have to walk in and take it. Now, I want to ask you, what do you dream that home will be like? What do you dream? I found myself dreaming of a number of things. New music stands. Microphone stands that have the tops on to hold the microphones. A nice PA system. And as I was sitting on these chairs this morning, I was thinking, God, I'd love some better padding. They give you butt ache, they really do. They're not comfortable chairs. I don't know if they were. Are the ones at the back better? Yeah? That's why you're all sitting back there. So I dreamt of a nice PA system, all the sound equipment that we need, comfortable chairs, a coffee lounge, a bit nicer than the restaurant area to drink coffee in after the service. I kind of thought, yeah, that's what we need for our worship on a Sunday. But I think the buildings God gives his church are far more than that. Far more than that. I know a church in Solihull that rent a building. It was twice the size that they needed when they moved in. They didn't know what they were going to do with it, but within a couple of years, they'd set up a sort of recycling program for furniture, bedding, clothing, so that they could clothe those who were poor in their area, and the other half of the building was used for that. A church in Bedford that runs a childcare centre so that they can meet parents, get to know them, and if possible, draw them to church and pray over the kids as they minister to them. A church in London that runs a counselling service for people who are needing debt advice and going through difficulties. People who've gone through abortions and then are really struggling with the feelings afterwards, and they meet with them, pray with them, and speak into their hearts. A church down the road in Market Harbour that runs a cafe so that it can interact with its neighbourhood and draw people in, so that maybe if they come on a Wednesday and have a chat, they might come to church on a Sunday. A church in Newcastle that got a huge bus station of a building. Literally, it was a bus station. Much bigger than they ever needed. It took them 20 years to develop it. But within a few years of moving in, a huge amount of the space was used for asylum seekers, to teach them English, to teach them how to apply for work and jobs, to bless them by giving them a place they could have a community. Do you dream of some of that in our church?
Yes.
Yeah? It's not a mansion for us, it's a place for us to fulfill the mission of the gospel.
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah? Thank you. Okay, time for a story. This is no bedtime story. Okay, this is not a story to make you nod off. This is a story of God's provision through prophecy and his provision of things that we might need. Prophecy and provision. And what I hope it does is build up your faith through listening to it for what he might do for us. Okay? It's a story of a church I was in for 10 years. David and Barbara here, Roger's here, Open Door Church in Kettering, and a story of how God provided a building for us. And I want you to take on board the way God worked. Doesn't he just provide more than we ask or imagine? Yeah? Amen? More than we ask or imagine.
Yes.
And in this story, he did. So back in 2010, I was working full-time within the church there, and we were meeting in Eyesbrook Special School near, you know, Wicksteed Park in Kettering? Yeah. Lovely place to visit for a picnic. We'd been there for a while as a church, and we'd outgrown it. The little hall that we met in, particularly like Easter, Christmas, we just were too many people. And that was only a church of like 50 or 60. It was a pretty small church and pretty small hall, and we knew we wanted something bigger. We knew we needed a building, and we had a sense God was saying, I'm going to plant you in the middle of town, right in the middle of town. We hadn't got a clue how. We didn't know what it was going to look like. And Adrian Horner, who was leading the church, who's still an elder there, he kind of gave me the task of going and finding a place to meet. And I came to schools like this one, who had bigger halls, lots of them over 18 months. I visited round Kettering and said, would you like to host us as a church on a Sunday? You know, could you open up? And they said, no. 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 We don't want to employ someone to do that. We don't really want a church in our building. So, no. We looked at different places that we thought maybe we somehow could afford. We didn't have any money saved up. Any. Our income and our outgoings pretty much matched, which was great. We were functioning as a church, but we had no savings in the bank whatsoever. We're in a lot better position. I tell you, a lot better position. So for 18 months, I looked at possible buildings we could buy, schools that we could move into, and it was a thankless task because we got nowhere, absolutely nowhere. And I felt very frustrated by the end of it. But still so that was the middle of 2010, so 2012, we kind of said, okay, we need some direction, God. We need to know something specific to be looking for, something about where you're leading us to, where we should be looking, and how it's going to happen, because we've looked, and it's gone nowhere. We don't know what to do next. And I was frustrated. So, at that point, we thought, actually, we better go and speak to some banks and just see what's possible. Remember what happened in 2009-10? The big financial crash, all of that, credit tightening up, banks not wanting to lend. So we went to these banks and said, hey, look, We're a lovely church full of really nice people, and God provides everything we need. We haven't got any money in the bank, but we'd love to have a mortgage. They laughed. Every one of them laughed and just said, yeah, you're joking, aren't you? Nice try, we're not going to lend you any money. So we kind of came away from that thinking, okay, God, you will have to work miraculously because we don't know how this is going to work. The banks just laughed. God laughed at them. And we still had this feeling God was going to plant us in the middle of town. You know, basically, if you're looking for a commercial building, that's generally where they're most expensive, right in the middle of town. But we still felt God was saying, somehow in the middle of town. We didn't know how, we haven't got a clue how he was going to do it. But we just felt he would. We didn't know how. We dreamed of some stuff, a bit like those churches I mentioned. As we chatted about the possibilities as a church, we came up with a list of things that we would love to do to bless the town around us. Because that's what the church is. It's God blessing and hope for the world. If we're not interacting with the world, we're not helping them to see Jesus in us. So we wanted to do stuff that would draw the world into the church, not the church go out to the world. So we wanted a mums and tots group. We wanted the idea of hosting some sort of counselling service, if we could do that. So rooms that were a suitable size for that. We wanted to feed the hungry each week and provide a meal, a bit like we do on a Friday night from the bus. We wanted to have the laughter of kids' birthday parties and hire rooms out so that young kids could come in and have a party in a really nice room. We wanted to run support groups for those who were lonely and those with mental health issues. This was a church of 50 to 60 people at the time. But we had big dreams of where we might go to. So we felt God needed to speak to us very directly. And when God speaks directly to people, what do we call that? Prophecy. Prophecy. The Bible says, do not despise prophecy. Do not undervalue prophecy. So Adrian, he is gifted prophetically, and he knew a lot of people who had a prophetic gifting in the church, New Frontiers group that we were part of. So he said, would you come and pray with us? And gathered them together over a couple of evenings. People who had the really strong ability to hear God and to seek him for help for his church. And during one of those evenings, we had a load of just really general encouragements. You're on the right track. God's with you. He will provide. It's all good. Keep going. Don't be full of fear. Be full of courage. And they were great. But we wanted something specific. And God gave that. He gave a picture to someone in that group. And the picture was one of those glitter balls, you know, the mirror balls with lots of facets on them, thousands of little bits of glass, suspended over a wooden dance floor. And he said, are you looking for a building that has this in it? I am sure God is going to provide you with a building, and you'll know it when you see the glitter ball suspended over a dance floor. Specific stuff. You can take that, and if you feel sure, you know, that's God speaking, you just go and look for the glitter ball. Actually, that's what you do. That's what prophecy is there for. God's speaking to direct you. So when he speaks something, you go and look for what he's talked about. Then somebody else, he said, and this one was just weird. We just didn't get this one at all. He said, you're going to buy a building with a spring in the basement. You think, you know, a car spring, one of those coil springs that do the suspension on a car. We were going to find one of those in the basement. It just didn't make any sense to us at all, but we felt God was in that. So those two pictures really helped us focus on what we were looking for and gave us faith that when we saw that thing, that's what God would be saying, here's your home. So then, I think it was something like June 2012, I think it was, Adrian, the guy who gathered these prophetic people together, was walking down Montague Street, the middle of Kettering, walking past what was Rehab Nightclub. Anyone ever go there in Kettering? Oh, Ramsey was there. Well done, Ramsey. Rehab Nightclub was a big old hall built in 1926. It used to be called Central Hall. It was a nightclub at this time. Went bust in 2009-10 and was up for sale. And Adrian just felt this little nudge. Don't you just love that time when the Holy Spirit gives you that little nudge? Yeah? And he said, have a look at that. So we called the estate agent, arranged to go around, and I think it was Adrian, myself, and Chris as the elders of the church, walked into this building. Oh my goodness. It was pitch black. Nightclubs don't have windows. The electricity had been cut off. So we walked into this building, opened the doors, and the first thing that struck you was this amazing smell of weed. It was overpowering. Just it was impregnated into the carpets and the walls. Marijuana was just like everywhere. So we walked in there, and that's your first impression. It's not the best start for a church building. Not the best. It was pitch dark, so we got out our phones and we were going around with our little torches because there was literally no light in there at all. And we got to the main hall. There was this big metal staircase there, and it actually felt all a bit cramped because they built these poles, dancing poles, and metal staircases and everything else in there. It was all a bit, yeah. I hadn't been in a nightclub for a while at that point, so it was all a bit new to me. We went to the back of the building, and there was a nice stage at the back where they had bands playing and DJs and stuff, and underneath that was a cellar. We walked down into the cellar, and it was a metre deep in water. And the guy said, oh, I don't think we can go and look at that, can we? Unless we want to swim. So we left that, and we went upstairs, got into what was called a party place, shone our torches around, and this sparkle of light went everywhere as it hit this big glitter ball suspended over a wooden dance floor. Yeah? And it was just the picture this prophetic person had described to us. And we just stood there and went, okay, God, that's really interesting. Maybe this is the place. We don't know. And we walked around the rest of the building, and as I was walking down the stairs, there were, I think, 5 steps to go out of the building. And it was one of the very few times where I literally have heard God's voice. And he just said, I am going to plant my church here. And I literally wanted to turn around and see who it was. It was that much a clear voice in my head. But it wasn't in my head. I am going to plant my church here. Not the church is planting itself here. I will plant it here. Yeah. I will plant it here. And the lovely thing with that glitter ball was, it was the mother of all glitter balls. It was, I think, nearly a metre in diameter. You know, this size, with 2 little babies, one either side. It was like just a good measure, just in case we missed it. There were 2 little babies there. So we spoke to the estate agent. The building was on the market for £350,000. So this is 11 years ago. I don't know what that will be now, 500,000, something like that. It's a lot of money. We have zilch. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. And the next day, the estate agent called us up, and he just wanted to know, you know, we looked around, were we interested? Did we feel this was the kind of building? And obviously we did, having seen the glitter ball and stuff. And he said, look, just before you say anything, I need you to know, when we went down into the basement, there was water in there because there's a spring in the basement. And there was a thing called a sump pump, an electric pump that pumped the water out, but because the electricity was off, it was full of water. But there was a spring in the basement. And it was exactly the words God had spoken to this prophetic person. Amen? Yeah, isn't that how we get God to speak to us? That's clear. That's the kind of direction we want as a church. So, 350,000. Yeah, where are we going to get that from? So, as elders in the church, we got together and prayed about it. We felt sure God was saying, keep going somehow. You know, I'm in this. I'm going to provide for what you need. Yeah, you've got no money. Don't worry about it. And we kind of prayed and thought, okay, what do we do, God? We can't buy it. What do we do? And we felt actually we needed to know if the church was behind this vision to have a new home. And you know that phrase, put your money where your mouth is? Sometimes that has to be true. Put faith into action. And as we prayed, we felt God saying, take up an offering. Estimate what it will cost you to make that building in any way suitable for a church. Get rid of the dance poles. Get rid of the marijuana smell. Get rid of the other stuff that would be in the way. What would it cost to do that? And we felt it would be 40,000. So our church of 60-odd people at this point, 40,000. And we said to them, look, if we're going to move ahead with this, we need to know we are united as a church in this. We are going to take up an offering in a couple of months' time, and we are asking God for £40,000. Okay? Now, from a church of 60 people, that's a lot of money. Yeah? It's a lot of money. But We felt sure God was saying that was almost a challenge to us as a church. Would we trust him to revive? Would we take the ground and step into it? So a few weeks later, I think it was about 8 weeks later, we took up the offering. We got the £40,000. And we were a little surprised as elders. We were a little surprised. Excited, but surprised. And things that really blessed me were hearing some of the stories. So one family were going to go, I think it was to Disneyland for a holiday. Parents, three kids. They cancelled their plans to go to Disneyland, had a holiday in the UK, and gave the balance to the building fund. Another lady who was selling a house said, I want to sell the house. And if God gives me what I'm asking, I will give these numbers of thousands of pounds as I downsize to the building fund. So the money kind of wasn't in the bank till she sold the house, but it was a lot of money. And even the kids were involved. My son Callum, who was 14 at the time, he'd been saving up for PlayStation, Xbox, something like that. And he'd saved up quite a bit of his Christmas money and birthday money. And he said, Dad, I want to give £200 of my savings to buy this building. I tell you, it does your heart good when that happens, when your kids are in church with you like that, where they're literally willing to invest in the church like that. And as a whole church, we grew in faith through that giving. We saw the prophetic things, and that excited us, but actually as we put our money where our mouth was, we started to believe that as we reached that £40,000 target, God would somehow work the whole process out. And I tell you, Hope, as we go on this journey to get a building, we will grow in faith.
Yes, yes sir.
We will grow as a church as we move in, but we will grow in unity and faith as we walk into the land like the Israelites did. And we fight the battles, and we don't give in to fear, and we believe God's promises. God works in very mysterious ways. If you read your Old Testament and New Testament, he speaks in visions and dreams. And he started to do that. So there was a family in the church, and the father in the family woke up one night having had a dream from God. And in that dream, God said to him, your family could buy the building for the church and rent it to them. Like, this was out of the blue for the family. They didn't know where this was coming from, but they felt those exact words. Your family could buy the building for the church and rent it to them. And he felt so sure that that was a God-given dream, he spoke to his wife and then all of the kids. Because it was your family could do this, not you, that you could choose to do it as a family. Now, not many people have got £300,000 in the bank, and that family didn't. They had to sort of take their savings for their retirement or the savings that they'd invested for the future and get those together. And the family as a whole said, well, if God said that, yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it. Don't you dream your family would be like that? Actually, parents and kids and grandchildren, actually, if God speaks to us, we go, yeah, we'll do it. We don't know quite how. It's a step of big faith, but yeah, we'll do it. So they got their £300,000. That was the maximum they could go to. Building's 350, they've got 300. So they can put in an offering of 300, and they need the cash in the bank for proof of funds to buy the building. So they get all the money ready. It takes a few weeks. The church is praying about this. We as elders are praying about this. Is this the right thing to do? Is it okay to ask the family to do that? Well, but God's asked them, so could we stop them? We prayed about it, we thought about it a lot. We thought, actually, we're committing the church to pay. So at that time, the church, we were renting Icebrook, renting some office space, and then renting venues midweek for prayer meetings. Basically, it was £17,000 a year. So the church agreed that actually we could rent the building for the same price as we were already paying, because our income and outgoings were balanced. So basically, we said to the family, okay, we can rent the building for £17,000 a year if you can buy it. And we said to them, okay, go for it. Go for it. You've got the money in the bank, you've got proof of funds, speak to the estate agent and go for it. So they did. And generally, we were pretty pumped. As a church, we were pretty excited. So they go down to meet the estate agent. I think it was like one morning. They wanted to meet in the building to make the offer. So there, the estate agent arrives, lets them all in, they have a chat and a quick cup of tea, and the estate agent just says to them, look, before you say anything else, I need you all to know, I've just accepted an offer on the building from a nightclub in Bedford, and they've got a lockout agreement on the building, and I can't accept any other offers. Devastation. God, what are you doing? The money's there in the bank, the church has given the 40,000, we're all in faith for this, and it's just gone. God, what are you doing? It was a shock. Now, I'll tell you, the whole church was not absolutely united in this. Some people looked at the building and said, oh, this place is massive. We'll rattle around like peas in a pod. We just don't need anything that big. It's too big a step. Other people were at the other end and going, yeah, we can get in there tomorrow. God can do this. It's all good. And then in the middle was a big group of people who were just going, God's on the case. He's promised. He's got this. We will keep going in faith. So we told the church, as the elders, we stood up the next Sunday morning and said, look, the building is gone. They've accepted an offer. It's gone. We can't do anything about it. We can't even put in a higher offer. You know, sorry. And as elders, we really struggled to lead the church in that moment because we kind of still felt God was saying he's going to plant us there. He'd given evidence of the glitter ball, the spring in the basement. But it seemed to have all gone. You know that phrase, but God? It's always good in difficult times to say, but God, because he can do amazing things. I remember the next Wednesday night, we had our life group on that night, and early in the evening, a few of us felt, actually, we want to go and pray that building. So we went down in the dark, round the back of the building, big building in the middle of Kettering, laid hands on it and prayed for half an hour that God would release the building back for his glory. Wow. We must have looked so weird to everyone going past, I tell you, but it was like that certainty of like, God, we are begging you, will you do this? We can't make this happen, but you are God and you can. So we kept praying as a church. Half the church kept praying, God, this is such a relief. It was too big for us. The other half of the church kept praying, God, you can do this. And actually, we kind of were all saying, God, have your way. But actually, the expectation of what the way was going to look like was different. And I tell you, it's not easy leading a church in these times. It is really tough. So pray for the elders as we go through a building, because they will have to lead us in this. And it is not easy. 6 long weeks go by. Felt a very, very long time. Be strong and full of courage. Do not be afraid. And that's very much what we as elders kind of felt like. We couldn't see a way, but we needed faith that God could, and we didn't want to give in to fear. So we had a call from the estate agent, or the family had a call from the estate agent, and he said, the offer that this nightclub in Bedford have made has just been withdrawn. Amen. God can make a way! God can make a way! We had no idea where they pulled out, none at all. And he said, so you can make an offer now. And the family, as they took that phone call, kind of were pretty much ready, oh, okay, I'll put my offer in now. But they thought, actually, I just need to check with the elders. So they came to us as elders and said, you know, look, it's back on the market, shall I put in the offer now? And we just spent a little time praying about it. And God said, not yet. I was like, what? We just missed it, you know, but what? Not yet? It didn't make any sense at all. We thought somebody else would come and put in an offer. And the family who were offering to buy it were really like, come on, this doesn't make any sense. You know, someone's just got it. God's released it. Surely we just need to go and grab hold of it while it's there. And they reluctantly agreed with us as elders as we felt God just say, wait. Another 6 weeks went by. And then God said, put in an offer. Why? Nothing had changed. No offers on the building, nothing else was any different. But we just felt God say, now. And I would just really give you all encouragement that sometimes we don't understand what God's doing. Yeah. And we don't need to. Yes. We just need to be obedient. Yeah? Yeah, just need to be obedient. So we went back to the family and they said, you know, go make your offer. And they prayed about it. And they felt God say, offer 200,000 and offer it for 7 days. Seven. God seems to like the number seven. So they put in an offer of 200,000 and said it's going to last 7 days and then we're going to withdraw it. And the bank owned the building. It had gone into bankruptcy, so the bank owned it. And nothing happened for a whole week. On the last day, the estate agent rang up and said, the bank won't accept 200,000, but if you put it up a little bit, I think they'll take it. And in the end, they agreed on £210,000. Wow. So 140 grand under the asking price, and more than a third off the asking price. And I think that's why God had said, wait. Let the bank almost feel there are no other offers, nothing's happening, and then put in an offer. So they got their 300,000 and put in 210 and bought it. And that just took a couple of months. The church has got its 40,000 for the renovations. Now, as we started getting quotes, we wanted to put a lift in for allowing disabled access to the first floor. The lift came out at £28,000. Inexpensive lift. It wasn't snazzy, but lifts are expensive. So 12,000 left to do all the other work. And we thought, wow, okay, God, I don't know how we're going to take the staircase out, take the pole dancing platforms out, paint the place. It needed lighting. Nightclubs have pretty dingy lighting. We had every room needed new lights. And we thought, okay, we've got 12 grand left. But then God said to this family, now I'm not sure they said that. They didn't feel God had spoken. They said, we were willing to put in 300,000. It's only cost us 210. The rent's going to be 17, whatever price we buy it for. So the balance of what's left, we will give to the church to renovate the building. So they paid their solicitor's fees and the other bits. It left £80,000. So we have 40, then we've got 80, and together we have £120,000 to renovate the building. But God. But God. Now, we knew there was a load of work to do, and there was a real shift from this point where it was faith in prayer, and suddenly it became faith in action. We owned the building, and we had to start working on it. We had to sand the floors. I remember a guy called Mark walking up and down the main auditorium floor for something like 6 hours with one of these rotary sanders, taking off the old varnish. 6 hours, he just walked up and down, up and down. People were painting it. They were getting rid of the beer barrels that were still in the cellar. They were cleaning out the carpets and shampooing them to get rid of the weed smell. We had days of doing that. Saturdays once a month for 3 or 4 months, and then people would come in the week as well. It was really hard graft. Really hard graft. People giving up their time to come and make the building suitable. But we got there. We got there. We got rid of the dance poles. We just didn't feel they were appropriate at all. So God provided, and it was great. It was a journey like a roller coaster of up and down. But that phrase, be strong and courageous, do not give in to fear. Actually, that was such a lesson to learn. We didn't kind of grasp it right at the beginning and work through it all the way through. We learned to trust God and not be afraid. So, faith in prayer to get the building, faith in action and hard work to make it what we needed. Do you think it will be any different for us, Hope Church?
No.
No. We'll need to pray and we'll need to work. We'll need both of them go together. Gosh, is it 10 past 12? Well, I need to call this to an end, sorry. I forgot there was no clock here. Right. But a couple of other things. God hadn't finished yet. We had no car parking. None on the site. It was in the middle of town. I met with a guy in a coffee shop the other side and chatted to him. He had a car park. He rented it out to the shopkeepers Monday to Saturday. And I felt that little nudge from the Holy Spirit saying, go and ask him. And I just said, hey, is there any chance the church could use that on a Sunday? And he said, well, yeah, if you keep it clean, you can use it for free. 50 car parking spaces out of God. And then there was a room on the side of the building that the nightclub had rented for £6,000 a year. It was integral to the building, but not part of the building we owned. And we went to the guys who owned that. They were developers. They owned the shops down the street. and just said, hey, look, we want to do stuff to build family life, build community life, we want to do parenting courses and marriage courses and stuff like that. And he said, that's fine, you can have it for free as long as you look after it. The church is still using it for free 11 years later. It's brilliant. Then the final cherry on the cake, and I just want to finish with this. God spoke to that family who bought the building. So this is 18, 20 months later. And in a dream again said, hey, wouldn't it be fun to give the building to the church? Wouldn't it be fun? Now, I don't know if that guy woke up and thought it would be fun. You know, if you've got a kind of like a 17,000 a year coming in, you own the building, maybe you can sell it in the future and get your money back. I'm not sure you think it's going to be fun to give the building to the church. But again, they talked about it as a family and felt if God was saying it, they'd choose to do it. So the church there, Open Door, now has a building with no mortgage, no loan, fully refurbished. Rooms, that's the main hall that we worked in. Go on to the next one. Is there another one? So that's a view of looking down from the main hall. This is the coffee area at the back. It's a lovely building. That was for a wedding we had before we actually owned the building outright. But God was able to provide a building for us in miraculous ways. And there's a phrase that I just want to, you may have heard it before, remind you of if you have heard it before. It was William Carey in 1792. He said, expect great things of God. Attempt great things for God. And I would just challenge us as a church, will we walk in faith, believing God will provide us with a home, and then will we attempt great things for God to make it work? Amen? Amen.